Well, we'll also take your calls while we chat with Bruce Olav Solheim about his ET experiences, and we'll get to your calls when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and Dr. Bruce Olav Solheim with us. We'll get to your calls as well. Bruce, I want you to finish up on the PTSD. I find that fascinating that that's happening to people who've had these experiences.
Yeah, it was a very interesting survey, and what I found out, like I said, I was in Korea, 54%, not 56%, but I was pretty close in my memory. 54% of the respondents indicated that there was a likelihood of PTSD, and when you apply the criterion that the VA uses to determine whether you get benefits or qualify for treatment with the VA, 46% of the respondents qualified for that. And I asked my friend who, Manuel, who is a the director of the East LA Vet Center, and he's a PTSD therapist. I said, can people fake PTSD, you know, in these tests? And he said, no, you can't really. The way they set up the criterion and the test, there's, you know, there's little traps in there for people who are trying to fake. They said there's just no way to fake PTSD. So
who would want to?
And who would want to? Yeah, and that's the other thing. And the other interesting thing I found is that the French are more affected than us. They seem to be more affected. They had a higher average score than the American members of CIRO. And Yvonne had an interesting observation about that. She said she thought it's because they're less likely to talk about it with other people. We're more willing to talk about it than the French, which I guess kind of surprised me in a little way, in some way. And then the other thing is that more men than women have a higher score, PTSD score, based on their abduction.
Yeah, that I could understand.
Yeah, and also the younger you are, the higher the score. The older you are, the lower the score. So that was kind of interesting, the data that we gathered from that. And the point of this whole thing was, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of in the media and the government types and others, you know, laugh at people who claim they've had PTSD, but these people are suffering. You know, PTSD.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's horrible for them.
And there's no way to fake it. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with the fact that, you know, these people should be encouraged. They should be believed, you know, that, like the, you know, the, I think the official motto for the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security is, if you see something, say something. But of course, that's unless it's a UFO or an alien, right? Then you're just plain nuts, I guess, right? That's the way a lot of people think about it, and I think that's very wrong. I think we should be listening to these folks. And
well, that's why so many don't come forward. I mean, you did. You had the guts to do that.
And it does take. You know, I'm not saying so much that I, but these people are very brave, who you know risk their careers and jobs and even get ostracized by their friends and family members. You know, luckily, my family members have stuck with me. My wife, Ginger, is very supportive. She's slightly skeptical of stuff, but she is very supportive of everything I do. So I'm very, very lucky.
How many
anyway,
people...
That was the findings that we had. It was very interesting.
How many people, Bruce, do you think worldwide have been abducted?
Well...
Millions?
I know they did the Roper poll in the 90s, David Jacobs and the late John Mack, and that was, I think they thought in America alone, they thought there were 3.7 million people that
My
could have had
God.
An abduction. So that's just in America, so 320 or 330 million people. So if you talk about worldwide, you're talking, I mean, incredible numbers of people.
And all you need is one.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
Not all the experiences are bad, you know. That's why I sometimes call it a reunion rather than a abduction, but there are some bad experiences.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you've had a very pleasant time with all of these for you.
No, I mean, even the first one, which was actually a rescue from the child molester, I remember I had for 2 years, I had to have speech therapy. I suddenly developed a horrible stuttering problem, and I think it's related to that experience. It was just so shocking, you know, to at age six to have been confronted with that. And although it wasn't, you know, malevolent, that doesn't matter. It's still mind-boggling, you know,
sure.
for a young person. So, yeah.
Let's go to the phones with the time we have left. Mike is with us, truck driving in Alabama, first-time caller. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, I'm a former police officer, and I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Come on. I got two experiences to share real quickly. During my trucking as a rookie, I've been trucking now about 10 years, and I was out in southern Utah, and I never believed in all that UFO stuff growing up and abduction and all that. I watched E.T. and all those close encounters back in the 70s, you know. But, man, I got this one little experience. I was at a farm, sleeping there at night, waiting to get loaded up with hay. And this is like a big farm, like miles, miles. And I was the only one there, and there's like a little shed there. And I got back in my sleeper berth, hunkering down to go to sleep. And it was a dry, calm night, stars out. And I was going to sleep good, and this noise come around my truck. It was like a swooshing sound, and I'm like, what the hell? And then you could feel somebody, step on the truck, and every truck driver, listen, in America, they know if somebody steps on your truck, what that feeling, it tilts your truck just a little bit. You know somebody's trying to step up. And I jumped up, and there was nobody there. I was, looking around, nobody there.
Jeez.
It happened a couple times, and then I finally peeped out of my sleeper berth curtain, and I could see three orbital lights, and they look like old-timey lanterns, just illuminating, going in a circular pattern, one flipping over the other. And it was probably about 30 yards in front of my windshield. It scared me so bad, I cranked my truck up, did a complete 180, went down 30 miles into town to sleep. That's how scared I got.
Wow, you're a believer now, right?
Yeah, I'm a believer now, man. And like I said, for people that are skeptic and say, hey, I know from my own experience that happened. And but anyway, and the other story, when I was a cop in Alabama, in a little small town, the police chief, when I got hired on, he said, hey, you'll get calls at this old church. It's abandoned, it's got woods and trees growing in it. And it's haunted. And all. I was like, yeah, haunted. Okay. I didn't believe that either. Yeah. I never believed in haunted and all that stuff. And I got I want to say it's demonic, because me and my wife, my ex-wife, we went in there exploring, and on the first floor, and there's a door, a little small door goes upstairs. And she said, you want to go upstairs? I said, nah, I don't want to go up there. Let's just stay down here. And the door upstairs opened up, sound like Scooby-Doo, it's like, rrr! And then you could hear somebody walking, and the staircase, you could see looking up the staircase, and you could hear steps coming down, like somebody walking down the steps. Nobody was there. And then we ran out of there, and I was like, that thing probably is haunted, and I told another buddy, he was a police officer, and his wife has those infrared, they do like one of those shows, go in there and look for the haunted.
Yeah, ghost shows, ghost hunters.
Yeah, ghost shows. So they taught me, and they're going back. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. Me and another officer and his wife and another guy, we all went in there at 2 o'clock in the morning in the church. Just for me, just out of stupidity, I didn't really want to go back, but we went, and they started exploring and everything and looking around, and we come out on the front porch in the central dispatch for the whole county. They call, they'll be talking to the other officers or whatever, and it comes on your microphone on my shoulder. As she was talking, a voice come over my lapel microphone on my shoulder, and it said I quote it, it sounded like a baby and a witch crying. It said, "Ag, get out." And I mean, it said it twice, and we're all just,
jeez.
I called the county dispatch. I said, did you hear that voice say get out screaming? And she said, no, nobody heard it.
Nobody heard it, but you did.
Nobody heard it. And then I started having bad stuff happening, and my phone would light up. And that voice was on my phone. I talked to my mother, and she heard the voice on the phone, a scratchy, sound like a demonic voice. And my mom's like, get rid of your phone, get rid of everything. When you went in that church, you got a demonic attachment.
That's probably what got you to be a truck driver instead of a police officer.
Yeah, well, my dad was a trucker, and I just got kind of burned out on police. I did it for a long time. I was a school resource officer.
Well, thank you for doing that. Then, Bruce, let me bring you in on this thing, because your first book, A Paranormal Personal History, was based on paranormal experiences. Sounds like Mike had some, huh?
Well, I certainly believe him, and it sounds very reminiscent to some of the things I've had. And I want to go back to what he said originally about the whooshing or swooshing sound and ask him a question. Did you smell anything when you felt the pressure on your truck, you know, somebody on your truck and the whooshing or swooshing sound? Did you smell anything unusual?
No, sir. Swooshing sound was just, it seemed like it was just like right outside my truck. You can hear a lot of stuff when you're inside the sleeper berth.
And why do you ask that, Bruce, about the smell?
Well, because I you know, they experienced the Mel's Hole story, you know, when we were in that
right.
side of that forest road. I heard the whooshing, swooshing sound, and then I smelled what, you know how like it smells like when it's just about to rain? It's that ionized smell.
It's that clean smell.
Yeah, very clean, ionized smell. And I just wondering if he had picked up on that when that happened.
Interesting take. Let's go to
that. Does sound like an ET type experience, and as far as the other stuff goes, I mean that stuff is very, it's very very frightening, but it's very real.
Why do they make those sounds and things like that?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. I think, you know, that's always something Yvonne asks when you're in the hypnotic regression. She asks you to have what she calls body memory, and then she asks about smells. She always asks about smells because that's a very powerful memory device, because once you remember the smell, other things come back. And the really cool thing about hypnotic regression is that it's not just what you say during the regression, you know, which is then recorded. It's what you remember the days after that start coming back from your subconscious. It just kind of, it's like it unleashes a log jam. And you start remembering other stuff. So it's a pretty cool thing to go. I was frightened to do it, to tell you the truth. I never wanted to be hypnotized. I thought, who wants to be made to act like a chicken or whatever and humiliated? But that couldn't be farther from the truth.
No, it's much more than that.
Person, you're in control the whole time. You're so relaxed that you're accessing these memories. So I'd recommend that to Mike, you know, maybe do that, you know, find a qualified person and see what else you can remember from these experiences. You never know what you might dig up.
Let's go to Scotty in North Dakota. Hi, Scotty. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Take my call.
Sure thing.
Bruce, in regards to telekinesis, you know, when one researches that, you know, on the surface, you come up with this spoon bending, you know, situation where you talk about spoon bending parties or Uri Geller or,
mm-hmm.
you know, in these presentations, you know, now you can kind of look into it and find step-by-step processes to do this. You know, I guess with all your research, is there any merit to this? And is it, you know, is it a hoax or is there truth in this? And is this a good first step to trying to work on this skill?
No, there is truth to it. And, you know, Uri Geller was, he was one of the research subjects there at Stanford when they were doing all this, when they were doing the remote viewing and coming up with the government program, Stargate.
Yep. He's a friend of our show, Bruce, and I think he's the real deal.
You know, I think so, too, and I know people who have met him and know him, and I actually have a friend of mine who's going to come into my paranormal class 2 weeks from tonight, or yesterday, I guess. And he has the ability to psychically bend spoons. I've only seen it on video. I know the lady. She's a very nice lady, Kim Trotman. She's a past life regressionist, friend of Yvonne Smith, and she does the spoon bending. And I'm really looking forward to it. But I've always believed in Uri Geller, and I know based on the research I've done that he was a very serious subject of research. Research by these scientists who were working on the remote viewing program.
You say there's a connection between all these other paranormal experiences. Elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's, it, you know, telekinesis and telepathy and all that. I think it's all part of the same realm. In fact, I think that the alien world, the spirit world, and the quantum world are really all the same thing. And I think that helps explain what's going on. And if you look at, you know, like the theoretical physicist David Bohm, he postulated that there were three realities. There's what he calls the explicate world or reality, which is the reality that we're in right now, you know, the normal everyday stuff. And then there's the implicate reality, which is the quantum world, the world of quantum physics, subatomic particles, how time doesn't exist and all that stuff, the strange things that happen, the spirit world, and also the alien world, you know, how they can move, you know, phase in and out of our reality. And then there's the super implicate, which is the what would be considered the highest consciousness or the concept of God, which is the highest. So there's these three realities. And I think it's all tied together. It's all tied together. And every once in a while, we catch a glimpse of this implicate reality, you know, the quantum world, the way it is in that dimension, if you want to use those words. And like you hear about ghosts, you know, you hear stories about ghosts that appear. They come through walls. They go through doors, that kind of thing. They phase in. They phase out of our vision. People say the same thing about the aliens. The ETs, and I've experienced this, where they phase in, they kind of vibrate into our reality, and then they can vibrate out. They can pass through doors, they can pass through walls and ceilings and windows. It's to me, it's the same thing. What I see is really the same thing, and I'm not the only one that thinks that. There are a lot of researchers and there are scientists too, people that are, you know, physicists that believe this as well. So I think it is all connected, and that's part of, you know, rather than building walls, I think all of us, between our disciplines, we all need to share and realize that we might all be looking at the same thing.
Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Welcome to the program. Hi, Annie. Go ahead.
Taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a case of synchronicity that drew a picture. It's like connect the dots, and I got a very strong message from it. I just realized that this is the year of the rat, and on the same day, I read an article in the Moscow Times that Putin has ordered the elimination of the rats from Russia because he believes that they are carrying coronavirus, and they're probably coming over on the cargo ships, like Captain Kelly Sweeney said.
The rats aren't very clean, that's for sure. What about the coronavirus, Bruce? Do the ETs talk about stuff like that?
Well, that's very interesting. She should bring that up, and that you should ask that. About a year ago, this ancient alien mystic that I'm in contact with, when I take my spirit walks, when I get into the alpha brainwave state, my meditative state, I can't sit and do it, so I take walking meditation. But anyway, he told me that there was going to be a series of calamities. I mean, he used the word calamities, which I think is an interesting choice of words. And so now he didn't predict when they would happen. And when I ask him, he says, well, there's too many variables. And then when I ask him again, you know, because that's what we want. We want dates, right? When is this going to happen? And he told me something really interesting. He said that I can't give you exact dates, you know, because predictions are often wrong because of all the variables, but preparations are never wrong. That was the advice he gave to me. He gives me very wise advice. And I noticed one of the things you had talked about during the commercial break was this, having preparation for extra food and water and stuff and extra medicine. I think that's a great idea for people. We don't know where this thing is going. I strongly suspect that it's going to probably be a lot worse before it gets better.
Sadly.
I'm not going to say that that Anzar, my ancient alien mystic, predicted that the coronavirus would happen, but he did say there would be a series of calamities, and there are some good extraterrestrials that are trying to help us. I think Anzar is one of them, and then there's others who are not exactly that helpful.
As David Jacobs has said, stay with us, Bruce. We're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, is the coronavirus part of a larger Chinese scheme for global domination? We'll be talking with Benjamin Baruch about that. And then later on, Chuck Berman joins me, the psychic cop. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're back with our final segment with Bruce Olaf Solheim. His website is his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His latest book, Timeless Trinity, an Extraterrestrial and Paranormal Personal History. Where do people get this book, Bruce?
Well, the newest book and all the other Timeless books are all available on Amazon.
Super. They do a good job. They're quick and efficient.
Yes. yes, it works out pretty well, and you can get an ebook and actually the as well, which is cheaper. And then if you don't want the print book, and then I have an audio book of Timeless Trinity that should be coming out in a few weeks.
Good.
And I know a lot of listeners like audiobooks. I like audiobooks.
They sure do. Let's go to Aldo in San Antonio, Texas. Aldo, welcome to the program.
Great show, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I have a friend of mine that he said when he was about 80 years old, he got abducted, and he said when they got him and they wherever they took him, he said they experimented on him and really tortured him. And at first, I didn't believe him because he's an older guy. He's about 48, 49. And he goes, I'm going to prove it to you. He showed me behind the ears where he's got like little gills and they're like perfectly cut. So now he has a lot of health problems with his heart where they experimented with him. And he swears to right now that that happened to him for real. I didn't know that they did that, you know, if you really got abducted, you know.
Bruce, they do things like that, don't they?
Yeah, there are bad experiences. And my good friend Terry Lovelace, who's been on the show, had a pretty terrible experience in 1977, actually the same year I had my Mel's Hole experience. But, yeah, the people get implants, they get experimented on. My experience in 1978... involved some type of surgical procedures. I don't know what type. I just remember there was like a clamp on my head, and there was a instrument that was being manipulated telekinetically by a insectoid type alien, and it kind of looked like one of those old lawn darts that are illegal now, but they used to have in the 60s and 70s. Kind of looked like that shape. This is the kind of stuff that that does happen. For what reason? You know, some people say it's reproductive stuff. Some people say it's, you know, some type of DNA, you know, splicing or whatever. But there are people who have had terrible experiences, people that I know, people that belong to Ciro and people that I know personally. And I believe them. And, you know, I think in myself, my experiences. So, you know, people aren't, you know, they're not making this stuff up. And they suffer for it, like I said, in terms of measuring by PTSD.
Let's go to Jesse in Gilroy, California. Happens to be a first-time caller for us. Hello, Jesse.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, Jess. Thanks.
Hi. So, long-time listener, first-time caller. So, I've been having a lot of dreams about abductions, and I've been having a lot of bruising and marks all over my body lately. So my question is, how do I determine what is real and what is not? I've having bruises on my arms and legs. I've actually had marks right between on my temples and stuff like that.
Jeez.
And you know, so I just kind of don't know.
What are they doing to him, Bruce?
Well, like, can I ask Jesse a question? What
sure.
shape are these marks? What shape are they? If you could describe the shape.
So the bruises are pretty much like almost like grab marks on my left and left arm and left leg.
Okay, so like
I've actually had a dream where I had like entities trying to put something into the forehead of my head mm-hmm. and trying to scrape it out. But in the morning I've had like a kind of like a something underneath the skin where you could actually feel it. But I just don't know what it is. It's really,
well, this
really
is,
weird. And
why do you ask about the shape, Bruce?
Well, there's often a specific shape. There's often like a triangular shape, or the marks come in threes, like in a triangle shape. So that oftentimes that's the way it is. But in the Ciro group, there are people that report every day these kind, you know, different people reporting different marks, which are, you know, physical evidence, which is what John Mack talks about, and, you know, the late John Mack, who was a Harvard psychiatrist, I guess, Harvard Medical
School. He was at Harvard School, yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately passed away, but he was a big advocate for people who have been abducted. And these things are real, and nobody really knows why they're doing this, why some people have marks, other people don't. I think it's different. There could be different groups of ETs. Some are, you know, not as friendly and not as, caring about whether we're injured or not or hurt. And I just think it depends. There's a lot of variables. But I certainly take full account for, you know, I think these things are actually happening. And
you still there? Uh-oh. Tommy, he's gone. Try him one more time. Bruce, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Got you back on. Let's go to Mike in Denver, Colorado. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I hope you had a great weekend. Bruce, it's really great to talk with you. I think you're really the epitome of what Coast to Coast is all about. I mean, the courage you have to share your stories like this about H.H. Holmes, and I tip my hat to you because you're really the epitome of what this show is about. So thank you. I did have a quick question regarding evil entities. So through your research, and have you gained any insights into where these evil spirits may originate from, and have any of these evil entities ever tried to personally infiltrate your life? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Mike, and for the nice comments. I think there's a lot of brave people out there. I just decided this is my mission, and my mission is to help those people come forward and tell their stories. Well, anyway, yes, these entities, some of them have never been human. They've never been human. I think there's that type. And then there's those that were human that did not have a good transition. And for whatever reason, they're malevolent. And you have a combination of those kind of things dealing with you. And when you're in, you know, in this business, or not in this business, but in the practice of the paranormal or experiencing these things, and when you have, as I say, the radar dish up, you have to be very careful to have protection, and because it's just the world is filled with these things. They people often say that heaven is only 3 feet away, but so is the other side, the other bad stuff. You know, so it's all around us too. So you have to be very careful, and whatever your belief system is, you know, I pray a lot. I always ask for protection, these things are around us all the time. And if you're not careful, like I wasn't in Chicago, it's a good example of a cautionary tale for all of us, that these things can not only psychically or spiritually harm us, they can also physically harm us if you're not prepared and not careful. And you should never play around with stuff you don't really understand. That's why, I mean, I watch all the paranormal shows with my son, but you know, sometimes I wonder, they head into places where, you know, there's been demonic activity and it seems like they're trying to stir it up. And I would avoid that like the plague. So.
Were your parents abducted?
I don't know if the only person I could think of that was my mother. She was very psychic, and we never had that discussion, but she loved to read, you know, like the National Enquirer and stuff. She was always reading, and it seemed like every other was about alien abduction. So I know she would read this stuff. She never told me that she was, but I kind of suspect it for a couple of reasons. One is because of the bloodlines, it tends to fall, you know, to follow in families, and also the blood type too, which research has shown that a great majority of people who have claimed abduction or contact with aliens tend to have the negative
Rh negative, right?
Yeah, so I'm A negative. My mom was O negative.
I'm O positive, so it's not going to happen to me, right?
Well, you know, it's not exclusive, but it does tend to be, the statistics show that the majority of them are Rh negative. Which
I wonder why.
That's a very interesting question.
Do they need negative blood? Are they draining you at all?
Perhaps it could be. You know, if you think about what the Rh comes from, it's the rhesus monkey. You know, so people who have Rh negative don't have that antigen. And there's a really interesting group of people. You know, about 15% of the people in the world are Rh negative, except in the Basque region of Spain, where over 35% are Rh negative, which is a very
that's high.
That's really unusual. And there's a strange connection to Anzar. This guy, I keep talking about this ancient alien. That name, there's an Anzar High School in San Juan Batista, I think it is, near that mission there. And the founder of San Juan Batista was from the Basque region. I forgot his name now, but anyway, he was a monk or a priest or whatever, one of these missionaries that founded that mission and other missions in California. But he was from the Basque region. And it's really strange that name, which is a is also a word in their language, that it should be connected to that and this idea of the Rh negative. So I haven't figured it all out. There's so many little pieces I'm trying to put together, and it's going to take the rest of my life to try to even inch along to try to figure out more.
Let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York. Joseph, go ahead.
Hey, Bruce. Those sand mounds that you sometimes see in Africa, like where an hour before the beach was flat sand, what could that be? And also when you set a looring, is there this danger of something being initially alluring and then you get the other side of things, like in the movie From Dusk Till Dawn with George Clooney?
Yeah, I didn't catch the first part about the sand. I caught.
Yeah, what's
yeah. In other words, the sudden appearance of mounds, like that are 8 feet tall, where the surface of sand had been previously flat.
Those are big ants that are doing that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know much about that, to tell you the truth. The second part, this the alluring part, it's very strange how, if you look at the cover of my book, the artist did a really good job. Gary Dumb did a really good job of depicting how frightening and how alluring she was, and especially the eyes. The eyes is what huge eyes and kind of multicolored almost, and just staring right through me, and I don't quite understand what's going on. I mean, there are those that say that maybe aliens are future humans, but then you got
time travelers.
Yeah, time travelers. I have a friend of mine who teaches at Montana Tech, who has that theory with his book. But I don't have that experience with the sand. That's kind of interesting. I'd like to find out more about that.
Next up, Nancy, first time caller, state of Washington. Go ahead, Nance.
Hi, I was interested in calling earlier when you were talking about PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, a couple of years ago, I felt the Lord was telling me that I had PTSD my whole life.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it, and it took me about a year to accept it, and it really, once I did, it really helped to change my life. And in the process, I learned that I had nearly been killed in the womb, barely made it, didn't barely not get killed. And I'm sorry, I'm not talking very clearly because I'm so shocked that I'm on here. And
and I've only got a minute left, Nance, just so you know.
Oh, okay. And that I had been subjected to physical violence from my mother all my life until I left home.
Hmm.
So those things together had apparently kept me in PTSD. The most interesting thing was when I started to accept some of the bad decisions and poor decisions that I made were because of the PTSD, and so I could forgive myself for doing things that were not good for me. Once I forgave myself, it became so much easier to forgive other people, like my mother.
That's interesting that you could do that, and I think that's a gift. Bruce, we are out of time. Do keep in touch with us, okay?
I will. It's a wonderful program. Thank you very much, George.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the callers and the questions.
That's Dr. Bruce Olav Solheim. His book is called Timeless Trinity, an Extraterrestrial and Paranormal Personal History. Stick with us. We've got some great shows for you for the rest of the week here on Coast to Coast. So don't touch your dial. for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.